This is a replay of the Thursday night, February 1st WGN show we started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 3 hours to spend together with you. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. All you have to do is call 888-876-5593. That's 888-ROLLYE. Well, several stories caught my eye, including the 9,832 that James sent since last night. But the one that really got my attention was... Oh, man, these are the kind of things that, well, one guy said, never in my career did I think I'd see anything like this. And that was the fire battalion chief. All right. So Manchester, New Hampshire. So a woman decides she's going out and throwing her trash into the dumpster, something the rest of us do regularly, if we are set up that way for trash collection anyway. Yeah, day after day, you dump the stuff in the garbage and nothing ever happens. Well, except in this case... She apparently fell into the dumpster with the garbage. Now, I don't know entirely how that's possible because in most cases, the dumpsters are way taller than you or I. Well, unless you're really tall. But for me, I got to lift up to get the trash in there. Well, nonetheless, there's no story on how she managed to fall into the dumpster. And, you know, that's embarrassing. I understand that. And it's dirty. Now, I've never fallen into one myself, but I have dropped things that I really wanted. And I'll tell you what, I have never once gone to retrieve them. It's always been the, oh, well, yeah. Yeah, and some of them is like, I really wanted that, but no way. Well, in this case, I don't know what she was doing, but she wound up inside. And other people have too, of course. But you see, that's not the story. The story is that she survived it being compacted 4 times. I kid you not. You know how that is. I want to get more stuff into the garbage truck. Obviously, the dumpster was picked up, was hurled into the back of the garbage truck, as happens every day. You've seen that, too. And at some point, the driver compacts the garbage so more garbage can be, put in. Happens every day of the week. Rarely with people inside it. Maybe never with people inside it. But if with people inside it, rarely do they survive it. The woman survives 4 compactings. Yeah, I'd say this was her lucky day, but her lucky day would have been if she didn't fall in the trash. Ultimately, what happened was neighbors, not the driver, because, you know, he's in a garbage truck. It's noisy in there. What you're going to hear? Neighbors heard the screams. And apparently the trash compartment was equipped with a camera. And sure enough, the driver spotted, yes, it seems there's a woman in it. And they called 911. Now, again... The driver had compacted the garbage 4 times, according to the Manchester Fire Department in news release, and still they realized that a woman was in it. So they used a basket ladder, reached the top of the truck, lifted her out. Interesting, she was standing, talking, and yelling, but was not alert enough to answer questions. I'm surprised she was living. She was taken to a hospital. This happened Monday. I haven't heard, her name wasn't released, probably to protect the embarrassed. But as I say, the fire battalion chief said, in 32 years, I've never seen anything like this. 4 times. All right, so I figured we'd kick it off with that. I've got several others as well. 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Bruce is a first-time caller, and he's in Racine, Wisconsin. Hello, Bruce.
Hey, you Sepulveda sweetheart. I just saw you last century when I was in L.A.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Okay. That was that your hanky you waved at me?
<I'm kidding. laughs> you'd be surprised at the number of people who do call Sepulveda Sepulveda, so you're not alone.
Well, I lived up in Marin County for quite a while.
Oh.
So that's what happens. You got that dividing line California.
Oh, do you ever? Do you ever? Yes. And Marin County, I mean, those are the expensive seats. You have no regard for those of us south of you.
Well, and I have a sister, a retired oral surgeon, and she's at the Moors in SLO.
Uh-huh.
And getting old and not being kind to herself about it.
Oh.
But I still love her.
Okay, good.
I was wondering if maybe we could think about Sonny Stitt when he played You're No Good back in about 1966.
Okay.
And Linda Ronstadt.
Oh, well.
Who collaborated with who? Who covered who?
Well, why don't
you can help me.
Why don't you just go for the original?
Do you have Sonny?
Yeah, I might, but that's not the original by any.
No, I understand that.
But the Sonny Stitt, I would do. The Linda Ronstadt, I will not. I have my standards here. There will be no Linda Ronstadt. But
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Yes, I am too. I liked her when she was with the Stone Ponies, and it's great that she loves R&B. I just wish she'd stop singing it. But
okay.
But yeah, Sonny Stitt. Let me see if it's on this computer. If not, I probably can find
play
it.
Play the original then if Sonny is
okay.
Undated.
Yeah, if Sonny's missing in action, we'll play You're No Good. Okay, absolutely. I'll be happy to do it. But I'll look for Sonny because that would be nice.
That's a kicker. That's the only song my dad ever danced to.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, and he was 54. He passed at 56.
Yeah. I'm sorry to hear.
That was a long time ago.
Well, sorry to hear that. That's awfully young.
Oh, no. Hey, everybody gets to leave.
Well, isn't that the truth? And hopefully we don't linger along the way, but 56 is still pretty darn young.
Oh, no, I was way too young.
Yeah.
Bad diet and a powerhouse job for Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing factory rep.
Okay, yeah.
Sold those yellow stripes down the highway to a multitude of state governments. Not quite like Jack White and the white stripes, but he worked himself to death for the yellow stripes. I love you, Raleigh. You're great. I'm so glad I get to hear you.
Well, thanks for calling, and I hope you will again. Thank you, Bruce.
Why, you can't stop me now.
All right. I'm counting on it. Thanks.
All right. So long, right. Kiddo.
Okay, bye. Yeah, so we'll look for Sonny Stitt. But others, you know, the original You're No Good, which I always say, you know, was Betty Everett, but it wasn't. All right. Betty Everett had the hit, of course. But the original You're No Good was actually Dee Dee Warwick on Jubilee in 1963. And Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller did the production on that. I'll look for that, see if I can find that. But otherwise, Sonny Stitt, be happy to try to find that as well. For Bruce, a first-time caller, how nice to hear from him. Yeah, the 3M company. They were one of the many people who owned Mutual for a while. Mutual Broadcasting, believe it. Well, yeah, but I realize everybody and their uncle owned Mutual at one point or another. But yes, 3M among them. All right, so 888-876-5593 would be 8888. Raleigh, Marcus is in Morrisville. What's up tonight, Marcus?
Got me a new radio, and I have a love-hate relationship with it.
Oh, tell me about it.
All right, it is the Sanjian WR55, 50th anniversary, supposed to be analog, but it appears to have digital processing. My problem is it won't hold a frequency if there's a local radio station adjacent to the one I'm trying to get.
Yeah.
For example, if I'm listening to 720 WGN and WOR, which,
right,
as you may figure, is
710,
more powerful for me,
right,
tries to come in there and usurp the frequency there.
Oh man! So WR, not a WR55. What'd you get?
Yeah, WR55, the 50th anniversary.
Okay, you did. Right. All right. Yeah, that was that retro style. It's got Bluetooth. It's kind of a tabletop thing, sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen this radio. That's a shame. That's a real shame.
I mean, I love the fact that it does not have noise cancellation.
Right.
I don't noise cancellation. I want to hear the noise.
Uh-huh.
So I do love the radio mostly, but when it veers off frequency like that, it gets rather annoying. And so any suggestions on a real analog radio without digital processing I can buy?
Yeah, I know. And I think that even with a C-Crane radios, and I've got a bunch of them, I think it ultimately might be digital. But there's one, let me think of which one it is now, that I keep in the bathroom and in the kitchen, of all things. And I love this radio. But originally, when they first came out with this radio, I got to tell you, I wasn't sold on it. And the reason I wasn't sold on it was some of the problems that you're talking about in terms of I want it to hold a frequency. It's just that simple. But with the refinements, it does. And that's the EP Pro. And I've had good luck with that.
Okay, is that C-Crane?
Yeah, and it's got the twin coil ferrite inside. But don't get an orphan, you know. Make sure it's the new, the current model, because it's just better. The other thing, though, is you can call them, and you can ask them outright about digital, and you'll get somebody. They'll put you in touch with somebody there who will answer this question, and that's probably what I would suggest doing. You know the phone number, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah, I would call them. Call them during the day so that their engineers and stuff are around, and tell them you talked to me on the air, and I told you to do it, and you wanted an engineer who could answer some technical questions, and absolutely ask them. And if you don't like the answers, ask if they have anything else that will work for you.
All righty.
Let me know.
I appreciate it so much. I mean, I'll keep this and
it's a 40th anniversary. It's a pretty radio, but if it's something that's going to just make you miserable, you know what I mean. We all have those where we're just ready to throw it against the wall. I mean, and God knows many of mine have gone that way. But but if that's the case, I'd say no. Send it back. You know, it's pretty, but you want it to do what you want it to do. So, and it does look like it would be analog. You know, they fool you that way, but that doesn't mean a thing. Yeah, that doesn't mean a thing. I'd say call, and I'd be curious what you find out. Will you call me back and tell me?
Sure, no problem.
All right, good deal. Thanks, appreciate it.
All righty.
All right. So, if you and I appreciate the call, Marcus. If you read some of the things in the write-up that Sanjean has about it, you start to say, I don't know. There may be absolutely a digital component in this as well. Yeah. So, I guess there is. So. We'll talk to Leah, we'll talk to Eduardo, we'll talk to Dave, we'll talk to James, and we'll talk to you because there is one line available for you, and I hope you'll take it at 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. As far as I'm concerned, that's hands down the best. And that's the original. That's Dee Dee Warwick. Of course, Betty Everett was wonderful, too, a year later with a hit. But I thought, man, this was a woulda, coulda, shoulda, as far as I'm concerned. And I don't know what went wrong at Jubilee. And it was a Lieber and Stoller production, so I don't know what went wrong there either. Should have been. Oh, well, 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. Dave and LaSalle has requests. What you want to hear? Dave.
Oh, hi, Raleigh. I wanted to hear you Snap Your Fingers.
Oh, Joe Henderson.
Yes, and the other one would be Too Late to Turn Back Now.
Cornelius Brothers.
Yeah, I was wondering if you could play them sometime.
Absolutely. I believe I'm going to fall. Yes, absolutely. Yes. Yeah, Bob Archibald's Music Factory. I remember those sessions very well. Happy to do it.
Hey, thanks. And quickly, I wanted to comment about that compact and listen, that sounds like to be in a mafia show.
Yeah, well, the fact that you know, okay, so yes, she was screaming, hell, I would be too, but talking and all that, she wasn't really sure where she was, but hell, the fact that she was on 2 feet was alarming to me.
It'd be alarming to me to be stuck in a compact.
Oh, exactly, yeah, and I'd love, you see, the stories never go into the good details. Exactly what was she doing? Because literally, for most of us, we'd have to fall up into the big trash receptacle.
I can barely reach it.
Right, exactly. So what are you doing? Yeah, I'd love to know. I hope somebody will interview her.
You have to stand on a ladder.
Yeah, oh yeah. You betcha. All right.
Okay, Raleigh.
Well, thanks, appreciate it. Good deal.
You take care of yourself.
You okay. Too. All right. Yeah, I will admit, one time, and it's in the recent past, within the last year, I had this wonderful pocket knife. Oh, yeah, it was a sterling silver, just a beauty. And it was a Buck knife, made by Buck, but it was made specifically for a company which is no longer in business. And so it was, it had the logo on it and all that. And I had a few of them, and I'd just taken a new one out of the package like a couple weeks earlier, and I was using it to tear apart boxes, which is, its highest good. And at one point, it's one of those things where I had the pocket knife in my right hand and the garbage in my left hand, and I released the wrong hand. And I know, right there, right? But I did. And so, just dread drained over me, and I thought, I want my pocket knife. And I thought of ways I could get it, and I looked in, I could see it, and I saw how high this was, what kind of ladder I'd need, and I thought, I'll never get out of there. I can get in there, but I'll never get out of there. And so, right, so I just figured, oh, well, it'll live on in my memory. But what was this woman doing? Because she was doing something. This didn't happen because she, she was putting her trash in a big dumpster and accidentally fell in. No, unless she was doing it from a helicopter, you don't accidentally fall in. Oh, man, they won't even release her name. Yeah, I'm on film at 11 on her. That's for sure. All right, so we got Leah and Marcus Hook. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. How are you tonight?
Better than the woman in the dumpster.
Yeah, I guess so. I recently had some medical issues, and I was going to ask your advice. Okay. I know you know a lot about medical things.
Yeah,
well,
we should also mention again that there's a caveat. You don't take medical advice from a disc jockey who talks too much. I have absolutely, I'll give you all my anecdotal experience in the world, but do not mistake this for serious medical information. Now, with that in mind, what you got going on?
Well, it started out, I had a lump on my collarbone, okay. And I went and got an ultrasound. Well, I went to my doctor, and she suggested an ultrasound.
Okay.
She said it was probably a lipoma,
okay,
which is, as just a fatty tumor.
Yeah,
and
right.
And then I went to the ultrasound, mm-hmm. and they suggested a CAT scan. So I went to the CAT scan yesterday, and it came back today,
mm-hmm.
and they're saying I have pulmonary hypertension.
Okay, high blood pressure.
No, it's a lung disease.
It's a form of high blood pressure. It affects the
I don't have high blood pressure.
Well, but
I never have high blood pressure.
Well, pulmonary hypertension, by definition, will give you high blood pressure, and but not always. But the bottom line to this is usually it means that there are blood vessels that are narrowed or blocked. And so that's usually what causes it. And so the reason that's dangerous is the heart has to work harder to pump the blood through the lungs. But And usually it's progressive where slowly get worse. I don't know any cures for it, but I also, normally the symptoms, I don't know about a symptom that would, be a lump on your collarbone. That's the part that I'm finding interesting because normally...
Oh, no, that was gone. That was gone.
That isn't related. Okay, that is not related to this. I was going to say, I just can't imagine how to put that together. All right, so...
No, they're saying it's pulmonary artery hypertension.
Yeah, they're PAH, yes. Pulmonary arterial hypertension is what is, yes. And that's where blood vessels are narrowed or blocked. And again, the only danger is there. It can slow the blood flow through the lungs. And then, the blood pressure will ultimately go up, certainly in the lung arteries. And then the heart has to work harder. And ultimately, it can lead to heart failure after a while.
But I've never had high blood pressure in my life.
Well, yet.
And you have to go on medication for it?
Well, no, I mean, right. See, the problem is I don't think there's any that I know of. There is no, quote unquote, no cure for this. And so if you're not having symptoms of high blood pressure, you certainly don't have to treat high blood pressure. So usually the number one symptom for anybody I've known with this, and we're going to go to the news here in a moment, then I'll get back to you, but is shortness of breath.
Okay.
And, that kind of thing and rapid heartbeat, fatigue, not the kind of things that you're exhibiting. So hang on a minute. Don't go away.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
And again, mind you, this is a talk show host. Just talk and get real medical advice. Don't listen to me. But, having grown up a sick kid, I'm happy to pass along anything I've heard along the way in the hallways and stuff like that. So we will pick it back up with Leah. And yes, her cavalcade of medical experiences. We've got Tom in Cedar Lake and Eduardo in Tampa and James on the South Side. And we got the news on WGN Radio. Bob Archibald's Music Factory. It was right there in the Garment District on Northwest 7th Avenue in Miami. And about 41st Street. In any event, yeah, I used to go buy clothes there. And Bob Archibald got together an entire studio. And then, of course, with the hits with the Cornelius Brothers and baby Sister Rose, built a better studio, as far as that goes. But nonetheless, there it is. And that's for Dave and LaSalle. And I was trying to think of, how do I even explain this? So I was thinking about Bob Archibald, and I was thinking about where the original Music Factory was, and I was thinking about, this place that I bought some really belts, and then I was thinking there was a guy on a billboard, And normally I would think of his name, and it's completely beyond me now, but he was like a, you know, some type of a clothing salesman or manufacturer. But he, his commercials on television would always be, he'd have like 37 coats, and he'd keep pulling one off and another off and another off. And there's a big billboard not far from the music factory. Now I can't think of the guy's name. All right, so these are the things that will keep me awake at night, obviously. Things of no consequence whatsoever. It'll come to me, and I'll scream it out when we're talking about something else, no doubt. All right, but back to Leah in Marcus Hook on things that are more serious. I'll tell you, Leah, this doesn't normally have symptoms when you're talking about PAH and pulmonary arterial hypertension. And most people do have it diagnosed by accident, but it can be caused by a number of things. So in the next step, they're probably going to have you do a bunch of tests.
Okay.
And it'll probably be...
Well, I have an appointment with my doctor on Wednesday, but until then I wanted to know. And I Googled it, and it said something about my lungs and my heart. Well, and I was really worried.
Well, no, don't be worried, because the other thing is that there are classes of this, and most people who have no idea who it happens by accident are class one, and there are no symptoms at all. So at that, right. And at that point, it might not get worse. You know, that's the that's the question, whether you'd see any symptoms. But what they really want to know is, why do you have it? And that obviously it could be hereditary or things like this. But if it were hereditary, you'd know people in your family who had it, and you don't. So, you know, there are some blood tests that can rule out some things. Obviously, doing an echocardiogram and a stress echo, things like that, that helps to see how is your heart functioning. Because very often it can be because of heart abnormalities. And so they can test for that really easy, not painful. Don't worry about that at all. So once they rule it out, and which hopefully they just will, they're going to call it idiopathic, okay, which is a big word that means we don't know. It's all it is, and that's it. But I assume that your doctor is going to want to do several things. And it could even be like a sleep study or a lung function test or things like that. I mean, there's a number of things they can do. But you're nowhere at a point where you would have to do anything invasive. Nothing. And if they, feeling is, if they suggested something invasive, like we're going to do a right heart catheterization right now. No, you're not. We're going to do a lung biopsy. No, but really you're not. I don't think that they'll suggest any of that. But what I'm saying is that there are so many tests you can do that are non-invasive. I mean, the most could be, if you're doing a certain echo studies, there might be a tracer dye, but that's harmless.
Right.
So I wouldn't worry about it. You would have never known it if you didn't have these tests. But your doctors are going to want to know why, just in case there's a primary. You know, what's causing this, and they'll find it.
Yeah.
But I don't think there is.
Like, because I'm often short of breath, but I just put it down to my asthma, you know?
Oh, well, see, asthma is a contributing factor to developing this. And it may be as simple as that. If you have asthma, that is, ding, 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 one of the contributors.
It is.
Oh, absolutely it is. And anybody who tells you not, they're wrong. It absolutely, you know, asthma, other health, scleroderma, which you don't have, or lupus, you don't have. And sometimes they focus on this, and you're not a drug addict. If you were, if you were on a lot of methamphetamine, I say, well, we got a discussion here. But you betcha that asthma is a contributor.
Okay. I do have diverticulitis. Could that be a contributor?
No, probably not. Probably not. That's no walk in the park, but I don't see it. I don't see it being a contributor to that. But So, your doctor will obviously, I think he's going to, he or she is going to want to take a look at some other tests to try and rule out what's causing it. But once they figure out that there's nothing there. Now, overweight can be a factor. Also, exposures to things. Like, let's say you had worked somewhere and there was asbestos or something like that. Or let's say you were living in the Altiplano in South America at 16,000 feet above sea level. You know, I'd say, well, we might have a little discussion here. But, you're not dealing with anything that would indicate any form of heart failure. So I'm not I'm not. Right. Yeah, you know, I'm not worried about that. So they'll diagnose it. Like I say, that I think there's a few blood tests they're going to want to run, and then I wouldn't be at all surprised that they put you through a stress echo or an echocardiogram. You know, that kind of thing. But I would, you know, I would think that you'll be calling me and saying, yeah, they don't know why, and I'm fine. You know. So
now, do you think I'm supposed to have oral surgery in later in February? Is this going to preclude that?
I would ask your doctor. Don't trust me, but my gut is that from the no symptoms and all that, it shouldn't. Now, are they going to put you out? Because anesthesia, you
yeah.
know, okay, well, I'd want to talk to your doctor first because I'm not an anesthesia fan.
Okay.
But let's say
I'm not a fan of being awake and having dental work. So
I know you're not. I know you're not. I understand that's one of your big phobias. But so when you're talking about general anesthesia, especially administered by someone who is not an anesthesiologist, I would absolutely talk to your doctor about it before I.
Oh no, it will be an anesthesiologist. It'll be in the hospital.
Oh, it will be. Okay.
Yes.
All right. All right. So are you doing the teeth thing? Or are you getting implants?
No, I can't afford implants. I'm going to have to get dentures.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I know.
Well, hopefully, you know, many people I know who've had to have their teeth removed found out that they felt a lot better with a lot of other things they never knew were related to their teeth. So hopefully that's a good thing for you. But in any event, in the worst case, they say, yeah, well, there are some things we want to medicate. I don't see that at all with you, but they've got a class of drugs that do several, actually, like a vasodilator or something like that, that they could use to, even calcium channel blockers maybe. But you don't have high blood pressure, and as long as you don't, I don't think you're going to need any medicine at all. But that's my gut, and I'll be curious to know. Do you ever test your oxygen levels? You know, with an oximeter?
Oh, yeah, I have a pulse ox meter, and I test it all the time, and it's always up in the 90s.
Well, of course it's in the 90s, or else you'd be in the hospital. But where in the 90s? You're above 95?
Yes.
All right.
Always.
All right. So, you know, they like you at 97 or above, but my feeling is 95 or above, I'm not too worried at all. And actually, if you're over, you know, 70, which you're not, I'd say, hey, 90 and above, I'm not panicked. But in any event, you know, you know you don't have that. So you've got good blood pressure. You've got good flow. You've got good oxygen. So I think this is just going to take a couple tests and they say, all right, go home.
All right,
but
cool.
Definitely call cool. before anesthesia, because that's always a good thing to check with your primary doctor anyway.
Yeah, and I'll check with the anesthesiologist too before I.
Right.
You know.
You betcha.
I always have a meeting with the anesthesiologist before I go in because of my asthma anyway, you know?
It's a good idea. I always say that's the most important part of surgery is the anesthesiologist, because that's the guy who's going to keep you alive.
Oh, yeah. My cousin is an anesthesiologist in Hawaii, so I know it is. It is the most important
absolutely.
Part.
Yeah. No, I like to do that, too, interview them and stuff like that. But I think I think all's well. But let me know what they say.
All right. All right. Well, thank you for calming me down.
Oh, yeah,
No,
don't worry about this. I'll give you a list of things to worry about, and this won't be on it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, okay, bye.
All right, bye.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes, you know, you catch things that otherwise let sleeping dogs lie. Now, that said, there's other conditions. For instance, you know, you read the statistics on pancreatic cancer, and it's pretty bad. It's you were diagnosed, kiss it goodbye. And that's because all of the early stages are inert. You don't have any symptoms. You don't know it. I had a friend who went in for a stomach surgery completely unrelated to it. And while they were there, they saw something on his pancreas and caught it. And it was pancreatic cancer. And he's perfectly fine to this day, you know, 20-something years later. So I guarantee if they hadn't have caught it, the story wouldn't have been as nice. So there's a lot of things that you don't exhibit symptoms. But on something like PAH, I think it's just going to be fine. But again, I'm no doctor. Talk to a real one, and she will. So 888-876-5593. We're going to talk to Tom and Cedar Lake and Eduardo in Tampa and James in the South Side. And you too, coming up on WGN Radio.
In that.
I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, the Fifth Dimension. I think it's my favorite Fifth Dimension record. And Raoul Towson would have turned 91 Monday. Sadly died 2001 in Las Vegas, just 68 years old. But, you know, he is the only original member of the Fifth Dimension who's no longer with us. Florence LaRue, Lamont McLemore, Marilyn McCoo, Billy Davis Jr., all still with us. Yeah, and I thought Ashes to Ashes on Bell was just a terrific song. So, 888-876-5593. Tom is in Cedar Lake, Indiana. What's up, Tom?
Oh, hi. Hey, this good to talk to you. The song I'm Losing You, my favorite cover, that's the Rod Stewart version. You know, it's a Temptations song.
Yeah.
One of the writers on that was Norman Whitfield.
Yeah.
Was he related to the gospel composer Thomas Whitfield of Detroit?
Not that I know of. Norman Whitfield was originally from Harlem, and he moved to Detroit because his sister married a guy who had like a chain of drugstores there or something. And he was in high school at the time, and he graduated high school at Northwestern, and at least I think he graduated, but that's where he went. And, you know, he was a kid who was just constantly coming up to Hitsville, USA, you know, the offices of Motown. I just want to work here.
Yeah.
And eventually Berry Gordy, for his persistence alone, said, fine, I'll hire you for quality control, which is actually a very important job at Motown because it determined which would be released and which wouldn't be released. But it wasn't long before he became a co-writer, and he was a co-writer on a lot of stuff like Pride and Joy, Too Many Fish in the Sea, Needle in a Haystack. But the interesting thing that happened, you mentioned the Temptations, mm-hmm. was 1966, and Smokey Robinson had produced Get Ready, and Norman Whitfield had produced Ain't Too Proud to Beg, and Ain't Too Proud to Beg did better on the charts, so Berry Gordy said to Norman Whitfield, all right, you're the Temptations producer, and from 66 to 74, he was the Temptations producer. He'd write a lot, sometimes with Barrett Strong and other of the Motown acts, but the interesting thing is with Whitfield is he was responsible for something that, frankly, I hated, absolutely hated, and that was the psychedelic soul. And, he a lot of sound effects, a lot of other things. But, you know, I can't argue that this absolutely sold, you know, Cloud Nine in 68. I think that's the first time Motown got a Grammy. I guess like them or hate them, I just didn't like any of that psychedelic soul. I think so. Some of the undisputed truth. In fact, when he left Motown, he left because actually Motown left him. Motown went to L.A. and he didn't. And so that's when he formed Whitfield's Records. And he had the Undisputed Truth on the label. And he did very well. And as far as that goes, and in the 80s, he was working with Motown again. I guess the big deal was he wound up, thank God he wasn't in prison, but he pled guilty to tax evasion. And I think it was like a $25,000 fine, but because he had diabetes and other problems, they said, you know, just give us the money and it'll be 6 months of house arrest or something like that. But during his, you know, he was bedridden for the last year of his life or so, and diabetes and all that, and died of diabetic complications, sadly, and is you can see him at Forest Lawn. That's where he's buried.
Okay. Yeah, my name is Thomas Whitfield, and people have always asked me if I'm related to Thomas Whitfield, the gospel composer, so
yeah,
I'd ask this.
If he is, it never came out in anything I knew. I just knew that his family moved there because his older sister had, you know, been with her husband in the drugstore chain, and so I think that's when the father moved them there. As far as I know, I'm no expert.
Now, you always seem to like the originals the best. Are there any covers that you like better than the originals?
Yeah, there are. And, you put me on the spot like that, and now it'll be hard. every now and then I'll mention that, here's something that I like the cover better than the original. Yes, it does happen. And I promise to be on the lookout for that, Tom, and I'll think of, because right now nothing's coming to mind. But absolutely there are times that the cover is better than the original.
I know this is different genre. I like, the Metallica Turn the Page better than the Bob Seger one, and, the Janis Joplin Piece of My Heart better than the Irma Franklin version, but,
yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. There are several like that. And, now I say that, I'm on the spot. I can't think of them. But every now and then
I didn't mean to do that.
No, that's fine. But I'll mention to John now and then again, that's a remake, and it's one of the few that I like better than the original. So it does happen. And I promise to think of you the next time I play one.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Yeah, now this will drive me crazy because there definitely are. And there aren't that many. But occasionally come out and it's like, Oh, I do know one. I do know one. See, and here Tom's gone, but hopefully he's listening. Young Jesse did the original Mary Lou. Now, I'll tell you what, Young Jesse doing it voice-wise and all that, he's the man. But production-wise, oh, man. Well, we'll play it coming up. In the meantime, we'll check out the news on WGN Radio.
I'm going to tell you a story about a Mary Lou. The kind. My money was a crying shame.
A Mary Lou,
Mary. She took my diamond ring.
A Mary Lou,
Mary.
She took my watch and chain.
Mary Lou.
She took the keys to my Cadillac car. Jumped in my kitty and she drove afar. Left me stranded in a Kalamazoo. Making her a fortune off a fool like you. She got her a rich man, had a dozen kids. Drove that captain till he flipped his lid.
Mary Lou.
She took my diamond ring.
Mary Lou.
Mary.
She took my watch and chain.
Mary Lou.
She took the keys to my Cadillac car. Jumped in my kitty and she drove afar.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. All right, that's the cover. And I'll tell you, I like it better because of the production. And that's the only reason. Now, that came out in 1959 on Roulette. And if you look at the record, you'll see that Ronnie Hawkins wrote it. That is going to become a big, big shock to Young Jesse, I'll tell you what. Because 4 years earlier on Modern, Young Jesse, who actually did write the song, had it out. And like I say, I'll take Young Jesse's voice on it over Ronnie Hawkins any day of the week. But production-wise, man, Ronnie Hawkins is the winner, I think. We'll see what you think. Here is Young Jesse.
I'm going to tell you a story about a Mary Lou. I mean the kind of a girl to make a fool of you. To make a young man groan and a woman pain. The way she took my money was a crying shame.
Mary Lou.
Mary Lou. She took my watch and chain. Jumped in my kitty and then drove her far. Well, she left from Detroit to go to Kalamazoo. Made her a fortune, not a fool like you.
Now, if you could have had the production that Ronnie Hawkins had with Young Jesse's take on it, that would have been a hell of a record, but still good no matter what. Obadiah Donnell Obie Jesse. They called him Young Jesse because he sounded like he was a guy of 40 when he was about 17. And, he could have been Obie Jesse, but he said, nah, then the name will sound as old as my voice. And so they went for went for Young Jesse, and that came out on Modern. And he was living in L.A. and, in fact, moved there as a kid, South Central. And who does he befriend? Richard Berry. They're palling around about his kids. And, of course, you know what that led to. Because, of course, Richard Berry wrote the original Louie Louie and all that. But they were both in the Flares, and they were both recording on Modern. But what's interesting is that I don't care for the production on Young Jesse's Mary Lou. That was Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller. I don't care. I think Ronnie Hawkins on Roulette, production-wise, beats it. So that's the deal. The Beharry brothers, who owned Modern, they always liked Young Jesse's voice and thought that, you know, he was their ticket to becoming a rock and roller. And I don't think he had too much interest in that. But Mary Lou, he did write. And I hope to hell he finally got all the writer's credits. Because, like I say, good old Moish Levy on Roulette said Ronnie Hawkins wrote it right there on the label. No, but when it was re-recorded by Steve Miller or Frank Zappa or others, I'm hoping at least that that Young Jesse finally got the writer's credit. So he did some jazz stuff on Capitol for a while. But sadly, no longer with us, but made it to 83, died on April 27th of 2020. So that's one I could think of where I like the remake. Oh, I can think of another one where I like the remake better than the original. And these may be the only two. I might have just thought of both of them. And that is one that Rose Colored Glass out of Dallas had the remake, and the original was a group out of Boston. And can't find the time. So we'll play both of those and see what you think of those too. All right. And then I think literally, Tom, if you're still listening, that's it. There are two. All right. Eduardo in Tampa, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, Raleigh, before I get to my story, a couple news. The CBS affiliate here in Telemundo, a plane went down in a mobile home area in Clearwater.
Really? When? So,
tonight? Yeah. So it'll pop up in the news when people wake up. But, yeah, I had it on mute. And so it came in a couple of news stations already, so that's something that will be talked about tomorrow.
Well, I would think that the people in the mobile home car park, it's not when they wake up, they already know about it.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah, they already are awake. Yeah.
I assume, I could be wrong, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I assume that this created some fires.
Yeah, it came out of the Clearwater St. Pete's Airport
mm-hmm.
over there.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yep. So, yeah, but I would assume, man, you hit those mobile homes, they're going to go up. Sadly, if you're talking about...
Yeah, it said several dead. They didn't say the yeah. account, but they just said several dead. So we'll see what happens.
Unfortunately, in Clearwater and a mobile home park, this might be a senior park. And so might be a thing.
You're probably familiar with that that area.
Oh, yeah. So. I'm very familiar with that area. All of Pinellas County, you betcha. So... Yeah, but I would assume it's a senior park. But anyway, God, that's terrible news. I'll look it up. I'll see what I can find out. Thanks for that.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned WOR. Mr. Good Evening, John Batchelor, was talking about the empty buildings over there in China.
Uh-huh.
And I brought that up because next to the Grammy Awards stadium over here on Sunday, somebody went up 27 floors and graffitied it.
Oh,
and it's a Chinese developer. It says here, 1 billion mixed-use retail and luxury apartments was left incomplete in January of 2019 after the Beijing-based developer lacked the funds to complete it. So that was interesting.
And where is this?
This is in L.A.
Okay, and so
Ocean
since...
So
it's just sitting there half-developed?
Yep. So it's been there since Jan of 2019, which is just right before COVID. So that's interesting. So somebody thought of going up there and defacing it.
Well, hell, it might be an improvement. I don't know. That's tough when you've got, and I'm guessing, here again, I used to live in downtown L.A., so I'm guessing this is downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Just a shot. And... You know, it's funny because there, that area by the Staples Center, this is all exactly where I lived in long before any of that. You know, I was at 9th and Flower.
Okay.
And believe me, nobody was going to mistake us for upscale. You know, it just wasn't going to happen. And but now most of that stuff is like become expensive condos and all that. So I would think that that area, that somebody else would want to come in and build that. That's interesting.
Yeah, Crypto Arena is home to the Lakers and will be hosting this year's Grammys on February 4th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the Grammys used to be like at the Shrine. I forget where we used to have to go for that, but yeah. And that's all by the Staples Center now. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'm gonna look for pictures on that. I wanna see exactly what got raised for this building.
Yeah, I thought maybe Spider-Man had a new hobby. You know, yeah. He's going to go up 27 floors and do a little paint
yeah.
job. But
well, I will say the neighborhood was questionable. I was away for a few days, came home, and a bullet had gone through my window and just smashed the plate glass all over my bed. So, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
And that was 40 years ago. So I'm sure it supposedly got better, but I don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, more than 40 years ago. Jeez, hard to believe. Yeah, more. I can't believe time goes by. Yeah, so,
yeah.
So Oceanwide Plaza. All right, I want to find this. That's
there you
great.
Go.
Thanks for that.
Yeah. My brother's going back tomorrow to Chicago. He was here a couple of months, so I got a chance to show him around, and, you know, we spent quality time together. So
well,
he said, I told him, maybe you'll come back around Thanksgiving.
Well, is he thinking about moving, or are you hoping he is, or what?
Yeah, I was kind of hoping, but no, he's he feels comfortable over there, so
yeah.
He works over there, helps out some people with landscaping. So,
yeah. Wow, I'm looking at pictures of Oceanwide Plaza while we're talking. It's at 11th and Fig. All right, so I was three blocks from where I lived. Yeah, 27 floors.
Really? How about that?
Yeah, three blocks. Because I was at 9th and Flower. So yeah. All right. So how about that? Well, so now I see an article about how is it what it's going to feature and all that. Well, I guess not much. So now we have to find out.
Yeah.
Why
Daily Mail has come through again with some wonderful video and pictures.
Yeah. Well, I think that somebody should want to develop this because this has become the go-to area. As long as they don't tear down the pantry. Now, the pantry is at 9th and Figueroa, and it is still the best restaurant in downtown L.A. It's open 24 hours a day, and you can get short ribs.
You know, if I ever go back there, I want to check out, there's a museum that they made. It's new. And I think it's about the academies or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because I like museums. I always check out a museum whenever I go somewhere.
Huh. No, I don't know. I'm absolutely clueless. So you'll have to tell me about it.
Yeah. All right, so I'll let you go so you can get on to some more calls. Have a good weekend.
Thanks for calling.
I'll be
appreciate
listening
it.
To the rest of the show.
Yep. All right, good deal. Thanks.
All right.
Yeah, so, well, there should be a museum for the Oscars, I would think. Yeah, because after all, that's an industry when it comes to California. All right, so 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. And, yeah, I'll come back with the other one. So there were two, yeah, and I played Mary Lou, so the other one, Can't Find the Time. I like the cover better. Yeah, rose-colored glass. I'll play that in the original and see which one you like coming up on WGN Radio.
Things.
So that's the remake. Came out in 1971. And I remember where I was when I heard it. You know how that goes, where something you really like, you never forget. Yeah, I was walking between Billboard and where I was living in Manhattan at that time. And this came on WCBS-FM. I'm like, what? What? That is great. That is great. That is so much better than the original. And that was, of course, 3 years later in 1971. But the original came out in 68. And by the way, Rose Colored Glass, they were, I think they were a Dallas group, and they were on Bang. And the original, though, was out of Boston. And it was a bunch of people, kind of folky people. Maria Muldaur was around them. She wasn't in this group or anything, but Alan Lorber produced it. And it was a group called Orpheus, and it was on MGM. And this was the original. And I think you'll agree with me, man, Rose Colored Glass had it all over them. Four guys from Worcester, Massachusetts. And no, when it came out, I thought, not a bad song. I never thought any more about it. Then I heard Rose Colored Glass out of Dallas. That was Bill Tillman's group. And I'm like, yes, that's what it was supposed to be. And of course, neither of them were hits. But those are cases where I absolutely preferred remakes. And John said, I think there's a Tavares record you prefer. I'll have to see what. Or maybe Chubby and the Turnpikes. But no, that was an original. All right, so I'll have to think about that. But in the meantime, Ron is in Sheboygan, and I failed him. I have never found your song, but I have not stopped trying.
All right. I appreciate that, Raleigh. How are you?
Well, I'm all right. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Doing well. So, I was curious, and I might be a little bit off topic for your show
tonight.
There
is no topic.
But,
it's whatever you want to talk about.
There is no topic.
No.
Awesome. Great.
Anything.
So, I was just curious. When you're listening to music in your armchair at home, what type of equipment do you like to listen to that music through?
You know, I'm so lazy. Most of the time I'm not listening in my armchair. I'm either in the studio or whatever. So it's whatever I've got. And I, you know, if I'm listening to it on the radio, I've got several C-Crane radios I really like. But if I'm listening to it on my own stuff, believe me, it's not top of the line Macintosh. I'll tell you that. It's whatever I have handy. And, you know, it might be an old Pioneer tuner or something. It's hard to say.
Nothing wrong with an old Pioneer tuner. Actually, that's what I was kind of using tonight. I actually had a Pioneer integrated amp, but I had just refoamed some 128 woofers from JBL L150 speakers, and I listened to some vintage Tony Bennett tonight on that, and it just sounded awesome. And as I was listening to you, I said, I wonder what she does.
You know, it's for a while I really cared, and now I don't know. It's just like whatever. And, you know, so many speakers these days, they can be so small and sound so big. And back in the day, I always used to build my own speakers, you know, with the crossover networks and all that to get it just the way I wanted it. But my ears are somewhat warped. I do like the old pear-shaped tube tones that you'd get, you know, the warmth of tubes. And when I think back to my all-time favorite turntable, it was actually a cheap Voice of Music stereo, portable because it had a handle, you could lug it. But they made it in like 61 and 62, and I thought this just had the best sound ever. But it had the best sound ever because it's what I liked. It wasn't true to sound. I mean, it was as distorted as can be, but it sounded great to me. So, you know, I think everybody's kind of got their thing.
That's the fun of it, you know. That's really the fun of it, and that's why I just love working on audio equipment and that just putting something through it. So.
Yeah.
Well, great. I appreciate you, you know, answering my questions and taking time for me.
Oh, I'm just delighted you called. I'm also big on reel-to-reel recorders, so if you're into that.
I am into that.
Yeah, I got a lot of those, whether they're full-track, half-track, quarter-track, you name it. And, you know, I got some Otari 5050Bs, and I've got a few of the Pioneers that I really did like, actually. And I think there might be a Tandberg somewhere.
How about Tascam?
Oh, yeah, well, Tascam is fine. TEAC Tascam was all right. I don't dislike it, and I think I've got a little of it. But when you're talking about that level, I'll usually take the Otaris over them.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm sure you had a lot of experience on those systems.
Well,
in the studio,
actually, it was more before it. And, you know, when Scully lathes went out and they brought Scully reel-to-reels, that was what I worked on all the time. And the deal was you had to know to rock backwards and forwards all the time. Don't hit stop or you will be hit with that reel.
Right.
Yeah, so, you know, that kind of stuff. But, yeah, unfortunately, my experience goes back. And the Ampex 601, of course, everybody. That was a workhorse.
Awesome. So, yeah.
Call me again.
Well, yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks, appreciate
it. Very great evening.
All right, you bye. Too. So, 888-876-5593. Let's see what's going on in the world at large right here on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that is Betty LeVette, who turned 78 on Monday. Let Me Down Easy on Calla Records in 1965. And she was on a number of labels over the years, actually. And a great autobiography she wrote, and I'm sure it's probably available for a dollar on Amazon, so you might want to check that out. But that was on Calla. And Calla was a great little label, I thought. Well, it had J.J. Jackson. How can you not like it? But interestingly, Nate McCalla wound up murdered execution style, found in South Florida in 1980. And at the time, everybody put that on Morris Levy, saying Moish ordered this. We know it. I'm not so sure. And, you know, I'm believe me, I'm no defender of Morris Levy. But in this case, I'm not so sure. Because if you go back in history, there was a music festival in D.C., that supposedly was supposed to make a lot of money, but it turned out losing a lot of money. And the people, well, or did it? Yeah, the people who otherwise would have reaped the profits reaped nothing. And is there a connection? Yeah, I would say probably more likely than Moish, but who knows? 888-876-5593 is 8888-R-O-L-L-Y-E. So we have couple stories I want to share with you. And then we got James, the king of stories. That's for sure. But I'm not 100% sure where the San Antonio Spurs play. I guess I should look at that that particular venue, because apparently they have bat problems. Well, in this case, and I say that because it's happened before and three or four times. But in this case, it was just the other day that, Saturday night actually, that the San Antonio Spurs, eked by the Minnesota Timberwolves, by the way, but in toward the end of the game, after Victor Wembanyama, or however you say that, made a three-pointer, a bat descended on the court. Now, the best part about this, well, of course, how it was caught is probably the best part about it, but I thought the best part about it is the players. Yeah. Some of them ran for cover. Yeah, like Keldon Johnson. He said, I know my lane. Like, I'm borderline scared of the dark. So a bat, that's something that, nah, it ain't really up my alley. I was scared. Yeah, so you had other players who were going after the bat, like Jeremy Sochin. But ultimately, it was the mascot, the Spurs mascot, the Coyote, dressed in a Batman costume, captured the bat with a net after numerous failed attempts. And what's interesting about that is I believe that's the second time he has caught a bat with a net at that particular stadium. And then there was another time that back in the day, the star of the Spurs, Manu, I can't even pronounce his last name, but you remember Nanu. Anyway, he swatted a bat to the court with his bare hands in 2009. So it's interesting that the mascot caught the bat. It's more interesting that they seem to have a bat problem. Yeah, these are indoors. Yes. All right. So the other one is, you ever drive down the street, maybe late at night on the interstate? You're kind of alone. Stone cold sober, of course, but, you know, it's been a long drive. And you start to see things. Yeah. Well, if this was you in Marion, Indiana, Saturday night, the truck hauling the zebras and camels caught on fire. And so apparently there had to be a rescue of the animals. But for a while, yes, the zebras were grazing by the side of the interstate. And the camels were there as well. Four camels and a miniature horse. Apparently, it all came from a flat tire that caused the trailer to catch on fire and basically full of smoke more than anything. And the police had to, Indiana State Police had to come and march the animals off. The officers were treated for smoke inhalation, but the animals were not injured. So neither was the driver, a guy from Sarasota. But all of the northbound lanes of I-69 were closed. Yeah, until about 6:30 that morning, and while the area was cleaned up and the animals were taken away by another truck. But yes, if you were late getting home, I'm sorry, honey. I was late because there were camels on the highway. Yeah, you probably have to, you know, get a whole new box of lies if you're starting with that. But nonetheless, true in this case. And law enforcement said no harm to our furry friends with pictures of the zebras munching on the grass. Just east of Marion, Indiana, yes, on I-69. And one person said, it's not something we see every day. Well, that's the master of the understatement. And the truck was bringing the animals from Florida to Fort Wayne for the four-week circus performance in the Mitzvah Shrine Circus. And so apparently the circus will go on as planned. The fire did destroy the truck, but nothing else was harmed. All right, yeah, but, you know, you're driving on... I think I saw a camel. No, it couldn't have been a camel. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. And we'll get to James on the south side and his 9 million stories, but there's plenty of room for you too. But right now, I know this is the moment you've been waiting for. Yes, all week long you've said to yourself, when will the time come? Well, the time is now. It's time for Walter's Perspective, sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com.
Now you find that you've been misused. Talk to me
are. Now I'm on here. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. And that, of course, is Etta James. Yes, Tell Mama. A fine song recorded in 1967 at Fame Studios in Muscle Shoals. Rick Hall produced it, and Clarence Carter wrote it, actually. Rick Hall would have turned 92 yesterday, born in 1932 in Mississippi. And, of course, he had Fame Studios in Muscle Shoals. And also I had palled around with Billy Sherrill, who was in the early days of that. They played in the Fairlanes. Billy played sax. And sadly, Hall died in 2018, just before his 86th birthday. He had cancer. And but he was absolutely, probably more than any other single person, the reason that Muscle Shoals became probably number one on the music map in that area. Yeah, I'd argue more so than Memphis, but that would be quite a debate. So 888-876-5593 would be 8888 R-O-L-L-Y-E. And like I say, I find some stuff online occasionally. I do. And some of the stories that I asked you about recently. But as far as most of them, James, the man of 9,008 million links or whatever, it's literally thousands of stories. I still got to ask. It's not possible, James, that you read all these stories.
Some of them, it's hard to get anything on because what will happen is that they'll go, if you try to say, oh, well, it'll go back to like the beginning of the whole sequence of things, or it'll go on to something else, and you'll say, hey, I wanted to go back to, and then when you try to bring it back up, it's no luck.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
A lot of them I do get to read. And some of them, I kind of wish I had it.
Well, yes, exactly. As far as that goes. So,
There was the Javish one. Yeah, that was disheartening. But there was one where this guy who had been as a toddler, newborn, had been tossed into the trash bin. He become a big CEO.
Yeah, it happens. I love the story about the 12-year-old Hispanic kid who signed up for an online astronomy class under mother's name, and 14 years later, she's the first Mexican-born woman to go into space. So
that was beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, so she was 7 when the family immigrated to California, and it's tough for a kid. It is always tough for a kid when they don't know the language. And I can't tell you how many kids I'd go to school with who got plunked down in the United States and they didn't speak a word of it. And she was from Guadalajara, so she wasn't in an impoverished situation, but she was in a situation with a very disabled older sister and all of that. And they came for medical care, and he or she is thrown into everything in school and doesn't understand a word of English.
Yeah, and so then you have to try to work that on the fly.
Yeah.
In addition to, and now this is what actually is becoming an ongoing problem in the Chicago public school system, because a lot of the places where they put a lot of the migrant families,
yeah,
a lot of these schools do not have what we call ESL teachers, English as a second language.
No,
teachers.
I know, but I'll tell you something, because back in the day that didn't exist. It's horrible for a kid for about a year, just horrible. But after that, most of them are speaking as well as the rest of us. And so immersion, especially if you're young, makes a huge difference. Yeah, you'll have a horrible first year, but after that, you're going to pick it up because you have to.
Yeah, in fact, that they used the line from Charles Bronson's character in The Dirty Dozen. Hey, you had to do that if you wanted to live, because when he talked about acquiring German as a Polish,
yeah,
you had to in order to work and survive, you had to have to pick that language up.
No, absolutely. And I had a friend who was a parasitologist, and he was from North Carolina and basically spoke English like all of us and nothing else. And he got assigned to work for a couple years in Mexico. And his story on this was interesting, because he was trying to learn the language and, you know, bits and pieces and all that. And one day he walked into a bar and he thought, wow, I wonder why everybody's speaking English. and they weren't. It had clicked in his brain, and he now understood it. And it was one of those things like overnight, after being there a year, he was just immersed and picked it up.
Yeah, because guess what? It's probably, they say, probably the one of the best things that happens for the brain over time. You keep on having a lot. In fact, they really, like, Pope John Paul II was like a master of picking up languages.
Yeah.
I forget how, something like 40 or 50 over his years.
Yeah.
Okay. And unfortunately, it was the Parkinson's that did him in. It wasn't any mental thing. His brain was probably working better than most of those guys.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
Unfortunately, his ability to actually do the physical duties of it was shot.
Yeah. Yeah. So now what's really terrible in your stories is that, as I say, literally hundreds of stories, and I'd say that 2/3 of them, maybe more, maybe 3/4 of them, are all people behaving badly. Texas maintenance workers go to fix dishwasher and they find a taped up nonverbal toddler. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And there's a guy who basically saw it, and the thing was, he blamed it on his identical twin.
Yeah, right. That's good. That's good. Yeah.
I'm like thinking, okay, put this guy in general population. They'll say, first off, you're a crumb for actually trying to put your brother under the bus.
Well, this guy's... I was going to say, this guy's worse. He blamed his 5 children, the other kids.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they tied her ankles together. And so apparently they were trying to keep the child out of the refrigerator, pantry, and garbage. Garbage? No, there's a bigger story there. Fortunately, he's in jail.
Yeah. And then there was the guy who went to North Carolina from Georgia to kidnap his kids back. He had already abused them, and they would take away. Then he went to North Carolina, where his ex was, abducted them, and abused him again.
Yeah.
I'm like, and he, for some reason, he thought Kettering was his special K. I'm like thinking, okay, I certainly wouldn't touch that.
Yeah, it's just amazing. You say to yourself, like when I say, if I see 100 stories from you that are all about people who are just doing something heinous, you know, when does it stop? Because it sure seems like there's more of it.
Yeah, it seems like the people. Then it's not just here. That's the bad. That's even worse, because it seems like the rest of the world is picking up our bad habits.
Oh, yeah.
Which reminds me of what this Orthodox bishop in Australia said. We shouldn't be imitating the Americans. Certainly not the bad habits.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then we have, of course, all of the game show shenanigans. It makes you wonder why anybody would care. I mean, Wheel of Fortune's always in the news, but in this case, there was an interesting story, and you know, anybody who has been around these game shows knows this to be true, is you win something like a car on one of these game shows, wait till you find out what it's going to cost you to get it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's see now. Mr. Taxman's going to want a little cut of that, too.
Well, right. And if you decide you're actually taking the car, you've got to come up with the cash.
Yep. And at that point, you just simply say, why?
Yeah.
I just simply should have just taken the money. I can use the money to buy the car.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah, and then you thought the bickering that went on behind the scenes of all the war secession of the trade secession on Jeopardy was fascinating.
Oh, yeah, right, exactly. I tell you, you don't need daytime soap operas. You can just read the stories about the hosts of the game shows.
Yeah, and actually, guess what? I'm certain that the producers of Jeopardy, if they could, they would either, if they knew Dr. Frankenstein, yeah, they would either employ him to either bring Victor Fleming back or Alex Trebek back from the dead.
If I'm from the dead, that'd be an interesting. I'd watch it just to see what they have to say. You betcha. Now, Verizon customers may get $100 each. $100 million settlement, apparently, that Verizon Wireless customers were unfairly treated, and it's of course the people who really make the money are the lawyers of the class action suit. But if you had a phone plan with Verizon and you paid an administrative charge or an administrative and telco recovery charge, you qualify, and this is between 2016 and 2023, and this would be a postpaid plan, and you can find out how it is, but basically you may pick up $100.
Yeah, I know a friend who actually was in that for that whole period.
Yeah.
So I sent one to them, and I said, oh, thank you. Okay, they should be contacting you first.
Yeah, oh, yeah. They're absolutely supposed to. So interesting stuff, as always. A wonderful group of stories. You've ended the hour, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay,
okay,
you
thanks.
Take care.
You too.
Okay,
right.
Have a nice weekend.
You too. All right, so we got another hour to talk. Whatever's on your mind will be on mine. If all else fails, I got the tabloids. Take it as a promise or a threat, depending on how you see them. All that and more coming up. In the meantime, we'll find out what's going on in the world at large on WGN Radio.
Lord knows I tried so
those are the Dells, indeed. Now I Pray, recorded on May 21st, 1956, and that was a pretty exciting session at VJ, because Chuck Barksdale got an offer from Otis Williams, so he left to be the bass singer of the Charms, because Matt Williams had gotten married and his new wife didn't want him doing that. So he wasn't around for Oh, What a Night, which was recorded at that session, but also recorded at that session was Now I Pray and a couple others. And the interesting part is, since they didn't have a bass singer, that was Calvin Carter, Vivian Bracken's brother. And, of course, he worked for VJ as well. But and they didn't release it. And then later, you know, when everybody opened their vaults for CDs and all that kind of stuff, sure enough, it came out. But I thought, man, that's a jewel. Just a jewel. Now I Pray. 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH. And Fran is in Austin. What's up, Fran?
Oh, not a whole lot. Just the same old stuff. But listening to these stories of James's and, you know, some of the other stories I, you know, read and hear, and I think, I don't know, because it's like, I know that things went on. Well, it's like you take pedophilia, because that was going on for centuries. I mean, you know.
Right.
But we know more about it now.
Right.
It's more in the news now. You know, so sometimes I think, is it really, are people behaving any worse than they always have? Or is it just that it happens faster and we know about it faster? And it's also wonderful to be used, as you say, and I love your phrase, weapons of mass distraction.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Now, first, of course, things, sadly, the horrors of things like pedophilia, yes, they've been going on since the beginning of time. And all of that stuff. I will say that it seems like people are more emboldened these days, and in some ways, not in a good sense, but more creative these days, the things they're coming up with. But undoubtedly, it has to do with the fact that on a slow news day, you look for, you know, more stories and all that. And so, sure enough, a lot of this stuff isn't necessarily brand new either. You got to look through the stories, because you can find like 600 stories in a day of people behaving very badly, and then you look at it, and some of it's 2 years old. So it's not always happening at the same time. As far as the stories about like taping the kid to the dishwasher or whatever, I hope to God that hasn't been going on since the beginning of time, but it probably has, and probably, as long as they're dishwashers anyway, and probably in many cases, nothing was done about it.
Well, I remember when I was little and my mom was telling me about this little kid that she was born blind. They basically kept her in a playpen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it wasn't child abuse, I don't know what was. She did go to school with me. She was very undernourished, had a lot of problems and so forth. And I was thinking about, that was going on then.
Well, I'm sure you've known more than a handful of blind kids who have horrible childhoods because their parents just couldn't cope with it. And it's
right.
It's far too often that has happened. You know, my late friend Joe Ingresia, his mother was just tremendously abusive to him in ways that I don't even know, because he didn't, elucidate at all, but it was bad. And so, mm-hmm. Unfortunately, and it's really terrible with blind kids, most of whom have all their mental faculties to the same extent or greater than anyone else. And so,
right, and they put them in institutions.
Right, which is just crazy time.
Which, like my great-grandmother, that's what she told my mother to do when she had me. Fortunately, my mother didn't listen to that. But that was all my great-grandmother knew, because the only thing she ever saw of blind people was, somebody begging. And it was good that she lived long enough to see me playing like a normal kid, and all that kind of stuff. But that's, I'm just bringing that up to say that, these things have been happening.
Oh, of course.
But, is it just that we know more about them?
Absolutely. That the avenues to hear about it are greater. Remember, it isn't all that many decades ago that the CBS Evening News was 15 minutes in black and white with Douglas Edwards. So, and there was no internet and all that. So, it would be the tabloids of the day that would talk about some of these stories, of course. And a lot of these stories don't tell you all the details either, and I sometimes joke about that.
Oh, no.
But many times.
And then, of course, the other night we were talking about how, everybody wants to be an internet star.
Yes. Yes.
And so that kind of adds to it. But everybody's always wanted, I think it comes down to people want to be heard or seen or whatever. And the less they feel seen, the more outrageous their behavior becomes. I'm not talking about everybody, but some people.
No, well, you're right about people who have that desire for that level of popularity. It's almost always some real, not only character flaws, but just personality flaws, and they're driven to do it. And in some cases with people, it's just a little bit, and that's actually what drives them to be great at whatever they do. Some people who
right.
But for some people, it's over the top sick. And what you wonder about is, what about their environment told them that this was okay to do? What gave them permission to do this? And that's the interesting story there. But you know, we've talked about this before. We're at a very interesting time on the planet. You know, we've been the age of digital is just the beginning of the transformation. We've been leading up to this for a couple hundred years since the Industrial Revolution, and really there has not been a change in civilization really since the wheel. You know, that changed the cave days overnight, and digital technology is changing us overnight, and I don't think in our lifetimes we'll see how it shapes up, but it's going to be a rocky ride.
Oh, yeah. And things have changed so much. Just Gary and I were talking because we met about a little over 20 years ago, and how, you know, a lot of the things we talk about we didn't even know about.
Of course.
Then, you know, and how much faster, you know, part of it's because we're older and time moves faster when you're older. It just...
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You know, I remember when I thought a year was an eternity.
Right. Like I say, the third grade took 6 years at least.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and now I'm thinking, what did that just happen? What are you you're telling me that happened 2 years ago? No, that was 6 months ago.
Right. You know? No, absolutely. where the days go, you know, even how could it be 4 o'clock? It's not 4 o'clock. You know, yeah.
Exactly.
So sure, that's absolutely true. Human nature doesn't change on that level, but I think that, and I think we've talked about this before too, one of the things about growing up was the individuation, you know, when you decided your mother and father didn't know what they were doing and you were going to be your own person, and everybody tried on a bunch of identities and all that. And
That's when my mother said that she learned that mother was a bad word.
Right,
said,
right.
I never thought mother was a bad word until my daughter looked at me and said, "Mother."
Yeah, right. No, of course. And you know, a kid will try on different identities and, you know, different things. But the difference is now that follows you for a lifetime. You know, nobody knew what you were doing in the 10th grade. Well, anybody in the 10th grade today, it'll never be forgotten.
Right. Oh, and then you were talking about these pictures. Somebody was talking about, you know, the sexting pictures.
Oh, that. Yeah.
And there was, you know, it was a TV show I was watching, but I could see this actually happening where, you know, the girlfriend thinks it's cool and she sends the guy this provocative picture. And next thing you know, it's all over the internet. Either that, or even if he doesn't put it all over the internet, he's showing it to all his friends.
Why not?
You know, I mean, but I'm thinking if she's stupid enough to put that, oh, this is just between him and me, honey. No.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't trust that.
Yeah, well, absolutely. But, you know, especially now, I mean, it never to me made sense. And believe me, since the days of Polaroids, there have been nudie pictures among people.
Oh, sure.
You know, but which is bad enough. But now, man, you put it online, that is... just over the top. So
yeah, or even if you just send it in a text, they can show it to somebody else. I mean,
well, of
they
course.
Could show the nudie pictures too, but
right,
you know, it's
of course.
It's just, you know, it's next thing you know, it's all over the place.
Yeah,
but, I'm, you know. I'm glad I'm not young. That's
well,
all
yeah,
I say.
You know, I say the same thing, and that's the old person's mantra, I guess, from the beginning of time. But no, I'm very, very glad I'm not young. Eventually, we'll come out the other side of this, and it'll be interesting to see what we get. But in this tumultuous period, as we literally move into uncharted territory, it's a rocky road. And
it seems like everybody is waiting for the next shoe to drop.
Well, of course, no, and you know. That undercurrent is actually, when we talk about sometimes some of the crime that we see and all that, that's behind some of that, that absolute, you know, I'm at my last nerve and, you know, I'm not going to take it anymore. People are living with a sense of frustration that becomes palpable. And I think that is a responsibility to be aware of that and to find a way to, in fact, combat it rather than fall victim to it.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I try not to deal with something when I'm really angry.
Yeah.
Because I know that I'm going to say things that I'm going to wish I hadn't said and that are not going to serve me well.
Right. Right. Precisely. And the other thing, in more recent times, sometimes what you say can get you into a world of trouble.
Oh, believe me, I know. Yes.
So exactly. It's there are no easy answers. But if there's any takeaways for anybody, that is, anything you do or say is not going away. It will be there forever. Keep that in mind.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Be careful what you say and do.
That's right. That's right, because it's going to be there for better or worse.
Tell her about the lady in the parking space.
So, anyway.
John,
if you have time, I've got a dumpster story.
Yeah, okay, dumpster story. Let me hear it.
Okay, well, Gary and I were waiting to go out, and he, you know, said, well, he's going to throw out the trash. And he said, well, wait right here, and I'll throw out the trash. And he went to throw out the trash, and I hear this, whoo!
What?
There's a guy in the dumpster.
No.
He just, you know, threw his trash in there.
No.
Anyway, this guy, he comes out and he decides that he wants to see if Gary and I will allow him and his girlfriend to stay with us, which, of course, no way is that happening.
Wait. A guy you met
at the... invite somebody over who just crawled out of a dumpster?
Well, a guy you meet at the dumpster says, hey, can we stay for a night?
Yes.
No. I'm sorry. We'll flip over all the cards. This is nuts.
Not even, you know, and I'm sitting there going, because I wasn't sure what was going on. I just heard, you know, Gary, I could hear him. I heard the guy in the dumpster, and I thought, that's weird.
Yeah.
And then I heard him talking to somebody, and I'm like, who's he talking to? Because this was, you know, later in the evening.
Yeah.
You know, and so, but I just thought it was really strange that here this guy thinks, you know, not only was this guy in the dumpster, which was strange enough, and I know there are such things as dumpster divers, and it's
right.
Very sad, you know, all that, but just to think that this guy is going to come out of the dumpster
and stay with
and
you.
And think for 1 second that we're going to let him stay with us and his girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I wonder how he did with the next couple putting out their garbage.
I don't know. We didn't hang around. We went ahead and did what we were going to do.
Yeah. Sorry. No, that's nice. Enjoy your evening. Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah.
But, all right.
You know, just the gall of that person just to this day, it just cracks me up.
Well, you know, they in reality have a tenuous relationship, and you kind of wonder how they got to the idea that being in the garbage was fine, and then being in the garbage and asking somebody while you're in the garbage if you can come and stay over. If nothing else, you'd want them to take a shower.
Yeah.
Jeez.
No way.
Yeah, boy. All righty, then.
People are strange. That
well,
is true.
Well, you do live in Austin.
Yeah, well, this is when he lived in Galveston.
Oh, all right, all right. Well, Galveston has its own history, that's for sure.
Yeah, Galveston is a strange place. Fun place in a lot of ways, but I wouldn't want to live there.
No, me neither. All right, well, good to talk to you. Thanks.
All right,
appreciate
bye.
It. Yeah, John said, well, tell him about what happened the other day at the grocery store. Yeah, this is what I mean about people are just living on their last nerve. They are just pent up and angry. And most of the time, what they're angry about, I am in awe that they have enough time to even worry about whatever it is. That I don't know where they're getting the time. And that's what I'm most jealous of. It's like, why on earth are you even thinking about this? And so it was that we went to the grocery store the other day. And we looked around, being old and infirm people. And there were like 10 handicapped spaces. And they were all taken. And so, you know, it's John, well, you're going to go in? You're going to go in? Okay, I feel better than you. I'll go in. But let's find a space. Well, it turned out there were also a dozen of these spaces that, you know, were for pick up your groceries if you ordered them online. And so nobody was in any of those. So John said, park in this one and go. I don't know. So I get out of the car. And I get out of the car, and I'm hearing this woman yelling. I don't even know what she's saying because I just keep, you know walking in and get to the grocery store. I come back, and I said to John, I said, did you hear that woman yelling? And he said, oh, yeah. She came right over to the car and to give me what was on her mind. And she said, you have no right to park here. Yeah, she's now the parking police. This is only for people picking up groceries. And so John said, you see the sign here? We couldn't find any other handicapped parking. And she realized at that point that she was dealing with somebody who literally couldn't get out of the car at the other end of the aisle. And so you could tell that, you know, she's realizing, oh, maybe I'm yelling at the wrong thing. And she just turned around and walked away. But what I wondered is, why on earth would this bother this woman? There were at least 9 other spaces left for people who wanted to pick up their groceries. By the way, I've never seen one of those occupied. Not saying nobody's done it, but nobody's ever done it that I've seen it. And they were just there and open. And it, by the way, I was just going to the bank in the grocery store. It took me all of 6 minutes to go in and come out. But to this woman, I had somehow broken the rules. And boy, she was not going to let it slide. And I thought, where did she get the time? You know, because that's the part I don't understand. Why? Is there nothing else going on in your life that this becomes important to you? Yeah, sort of like when I was talking to Leah and I said, I've got a list of worries for you and that ain't on it. Well, that's sort of the same way. There are so many things that might merit a certain amount of concern. Whether someone's parking in the drive-up spot or not is absolutely not one of them. Yeah, but I'm sure there'll be a tabloid story soon, because that's the other thing. You don't want to be disrespectful to any of these people, because increasingly I'm finding stories about them being shot. So 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH. And yes, I told you, if you don't call, I got the tabloids. Yeah, we were talking about Cher being disowned just last night, and then the show ended. I know, and you're saying, not a moment too soon. Yeah, well, certainly true. But apparently there was an issue where she thought her son's wife was, in fact, enticing him to be back onto drugs, and so she felt that she needed to do something about it, and she had him kidnapped. Or so he says. Now she says, I did not do that. Well, either way, he wound up put in the rehab. But so now, supposedly, he and Chastity are not pleased with Cher. Well, so be it. We'll see that change next week, no doubt. So Jimmy Kimmel feud gets Aaron next. I don't know who Aaron is. But Jimmy Kimmel, and this shows my ignorance, someone mentioned that he'd been on The Tonight Show now 21 years. Is that possible? I'll have to look that up again. Maybe it is. But talk about time flying. Yeah, I never could have imagined that. And to me, The Tonight Show will forever be Johnny Carson, because he wasn't the first, but he was my favorite of all the hosts. What else do we have? I mentioned the other day the Kardashians' billion empire collapsing. It won't be, but I think what's interesting most about that is the Kardashian mom, and let's hire her for any PR job you absolutely want. But we have Hollywood 2024, who's in and who's out? Which of all also interesting, because, of course, there again, when I'm reading about who's in and who's out and I don't know who half the people are, I'm really not moving right along with the story. But we will share it with you in case you're wondering who is in and who is out. Yes, for 2024. Also plenty of Harry and Meghan stories. I think they're out, by the way, but that's unrelated to that. So 888-876-5593. Another hour of whatever's on your mind right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Enjoying that just a little too much. 1958, they did release it. And man, is that a woulda, coulda, shoulda. That should have been a hit. I don't know how it wasn't, but it is the Dells, of course. I'm calling 1958 on VJ's Jeepers Creepers on the flip side. And I was playing that because I played the last Dells record and forgot to tell you why. And then since then, I've lost all the details. I don't know how that happened, but yes, it, Marvin Jr. It would have been his birthday this week. And sadly, of course, he's no longer with us. So, all right, rest in peace, Marvin Jr. And rest in peace, the sheet of paper that gave me all that information. All right, so we're going to get to Sherry in Naperville in a moment, but another story for you that I wanted to, it's a love story. All right, sort of. All right, well, love story and a criminal act of sabotage, depending on how you look at it. Did you know about Flacco? Flacco is a majestic Eurasian eagle owl, and Flacco had been at the zoo, Central Park Zoo, for 13 years. And last year, in the cover of darkness, someone breached the fence, it was only about waist high, slipped into the zoo, once inside, cut a hole through the steel mesh cage, and freed Flacco. And so Flacco did the right thing, immediately fled the park, blinking his big orange eyes at pedestrians and police on Fifth Avenue and flew off into the night. Now, at the time, everybody was really worried because they thought this is the end of Flacco, because Flacco had been raised from a fledgling and had never known freedom or anything like that. And this was a pretty dramatic escape. Well, it turned out that Flacco has done very well in the year since his escape. In fact, he's one of the city's most beloved characters for those who are into owls. And by day, he's lounging in courtyards or parks or perches or fire escapes. And at night, he's hooting atop water towers and preying on the city's abundant rats. Now, Flacco is thriving in the urban wilds. And the interesting thing about this is, as I say, he was in captivity, and this was, so far as I'm concerned, it was an inhumane captivity. Flacco has a 6'2", inch wingspan, so 6 feet across. And what a lot of the onlookers and even experts called as a problem was the fact that he never got to develop in a lifetime of captivity any of the skills needed. Oh, yes, he did, apparently, because he's been great. He's been exploring new neighborhoods, turning up unexpectedly at the windows of New Yorker. And, basically, he's the underdog. People didn't think that he'd make it at all. And New Yorkers love him. He's resilient. So now he's 2 years into the spotlight, and his freedom is the result of a crime. Unsolved. And that's interesting, too, don't you think? You'd think they'd have cameras or something. But nonetheless, the zoo suspended their efforts of looking for Flacco last year, February 2023. So now, February 2024, we know that Flacco is alive and well because he's showing up all over the place. And there's been no public information about the crime, but theoretically, the police are still after the perpetrator. But what's really interesting is that the zoo, somewhat on the sly, is seeking to, say, soften the descriptions of his former living conditions. About a minivan-sized structure, decorated with a painted mountain vista. Yeah. Bottom thing is, it was maybe twice the width of his wingspan. Yeah, extended. So there were several people who were very upset about this, and probably that's exactly one of whom set him free. But there were internal emails that were obtained through a Freedom of Information request that showed the zoo officials urging the park description not to publicly describe Flacco as raised in captivity. They also didn't want him to use the term escape. Right. And they said, the zoo said, that makes Flacco the perpetrator. Yeah, this was a crime. Well, maybe a youthful prank. But most likely, I still think the most plausible explanation is ideological reasons. And again, when you look really what it comes down to with the way that these animals are kept, yeah, there's a lot of people who are saying this ain't no crime. This is a gift. Well, so certainly the animal liberation people feel that way about it. And they're saying, I wouldn't be surprised if it was someone who loved Flacco and just wanted him free. His habitat was ridiculous. The saddest thing ever was described by some. And of course, you know, these tactics are used to free animals, obviously. Interestingly, of the groups that are in favor of animal liberation, the spokesperson for one of them said, we never received a communique. We don't know who was responsible, but we're certainly glad it happened. Yeah. And bottom line is the habitat was inadequate, and nobody's been owning up to that. But in the meantime, the hazards are still there. And that is the sad reality. In fact, the Al Moon Raptor Center in Maryland that knows all about raptors said, well, Flacco's shown some great instincts, and he's made it this far, but he's also lucky. Because there are dangers, to say the least. One of the biggest dangers is actually ingesting a poison rat, because that happened. In fact, that happened to another beloved Central Park owl, Barry, who ingested a lethal dose of rat poison and then was still alive but fatally hit by a truck because she couldn't fly. And the Al Moon Raptor Center said the hazards are still there. Yeah, so there you have it. And right, so we've got camels on the way to Marion, Indiana, and we've got Flacco on the loose. May he be forever. So 888-876-5593. We've got Sherry in Naperville. Sherry, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Rowley. Oh, I loved your Flacco story. I'm glad you put me on hold to listen to it.
Yeah, Flacco. I really hope for that. I am a little worried when I heard that another one died from ingesting a rat that was poisoned. So I hope to God that Flacco will continue to be fine. But I'm delighted that Flacco's free.
Well, a 6 foot wingspan? I have never seen an owl that big. I mean, we hear them.
No, they are. Those owls that you saw, if they actually spread their wings, it's about 6 feet. And you don't think so.
Even though they look like they're 8 inches or 9 inches tall?
Yes, that's right. Wait till they spread those wings. And you know, what's interesting, I think the most interesting thing about this story is this is a creature that lived its whole life in captivity in basically, you know, a real small area. And in a matter of days, he's able to fly and hunt rats.
Yeah, I was worried, too, that that he didn't have the skills to hunt and
gather. Yeah, but apparently he taught himself literally in a minute. So good for Flacco.
Yeah, is it A-K-O or A-C-O?
A-C-O, F-L-A-C-O, Flacco. Yeah,
the right. U.S.
What?
What continent is he from?
Well, he's born here, but I think they're Eurasian.
Oh, Eurasian, David.
Yeah, Eurasian.
Anyway.
Yeah, the word is, you know, he's been going for new areas of Manhattan recently. And those who keep up with raptors say, well, that's because he's searching for a mate. But the problem is there are no other Eurasian owls like this. Not there.
Do you know what color he is?
Well, he's sort of owl-colored. I don't know how to describe this. I'm looking.
Well,
at
I mean, there's white owls.
No,
gray owls.
He's not white and he's not gray. He's beautiful. You can look him up, Flacco, and he's brownish spotted. You know, there's spots on him and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, he's owl-colored. That's about all I can tell you. F-L-A-C-O, the owl.
I love that story.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you'd like Flacco, and there are plenty of images of Flacco. And, yeah, I'd say that he's in the brown and beige and maybe a little orange there category. Orange eyes. Beautiful animal.
I'll look him up.
Yeah.
I'll look him up. What else was I going to say? Oh, when you were doing the covers you liked versus the original?
Yes.
So was the first song you played called Marianne, I think?
No, Mary Lou, Ronnie Hawkins.
Mary Lou.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is my comment, and I've been in music since forever. But, I mean, clarinet and before that, organ and Peter Pumpkin Eater on the organ. Anyway, before I was five. But, and drum corps and chorus and musicals and all this other stuff. But nonetheless, so this is my comment for the Mary Lou. The first one you played, which I think was a cover, right?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Is one I would want to listen to. The original you played, I know this sounds weird, is one I would want to dance to.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And the next, I don't remember what it was called, the next series you played the original second.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wow, I really like the guitar riffs on this and the chords for the singers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, 20 seconds before you shut it off, they went off into the weeds. And both David and I said, yuck.
Yeah, I just thought, you know, it's strange, too, because Lieber and Stoller, normally I would think they would have great production no matter what. But I just thought the Ronnie Hawkins production was better.
Well, I'm just saying that it sounded good in the first, many ever.
Well, there are so many songs like that. That they just go to hell somehow at some point. Yeah, psychotic.
Exactly.
Psychotic reaction by the Count Five. It just went nuts toward the end there.
Well, it's like when somebody sings the national anthem and they hit the high note and it's like off key and you're going, ouch, kind of thing.
Well, there
you have. Yeah, so it just turns you off, period. I wanted to comment also, my heart goes out to Leia.
Yeah.
And also, I remember it was like the 90s, I think, when they had that, this is what I'm wondering, that diet drug back in the 90s, I think it was fentanyl versus fentanyl or something like that.
No, I know what you're talking, no, it wasn't, but I know there was that big diet drug that people tried, yeah.
And it ruin their heart.
Yeah,
and I know she's on that one, right. Is Alestro or Aless?
No, Ozempic. Ozempic. But
thank you.
But yeah, there was that one. I had a friend, in fact, Charlie Murdoch. He had tried that drug, and it wasn't good. But
no, it ruined everybody's heart. Is what happened because your body is like reacting, and it needs your cholesterol for your brain, and this, that, and the other, and.
Fenfen. It was called Fenfen. F-E-N.
Thank you. That's correct.
Called F-E-N-P-H-E-N. Fenfen. Yes. And that did show a severe cardiac issues. In some places, I think there was a version of it, Redux or something, but Fenfen was the drug that everybody thought was the wonder drug.
But I kind of wonder if this is kind of sort of related. And I know that there's a CDC website or something like that you can... I mean, they asked for it during COVID, so I assume it's for any drug you're taking, so they can assess, you know, reactions or this, that, and the other.
One of the problems with Fenfen, though, was valve problems, and she's not suffering with valve damage, and that was the big thing on that. But regardless, I'm sure that when she goes to her doctors and presents with this, they're going to go through her entire history and have her do a number of tests to find out, if they can, what's causing
it. I sure hope so, but, you know, it depends on how good in your area your doctors are, like if they're teaching hospitals or not teaching hospitals. Like we've got Northwestern and Loyola and
the real key is take responsibility, and if you're not getting the answers from your doctor that you expect to get, then hey, look further, don't give up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then I also want to comment on Fran. You know, I remember when my best friend's kids were growing up, and I'm like, oh, and the news would come on. I'm like, how can they show this during prime time when the kids are still awake? You know, kind of stuff. But when she was talking about abuse towards kids, I have, is Fran blind?
Yes.
Know?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So she can't watch movies.
No. And, but she can hear them as far as that goes, but no, but there is a level of abuse, sadly, among a lot of parents who are not prepared to have a blind child. And many are step up to the plate and are just terrific. But there are sadly a good percentage who, man, they abuse that child, and it's just horrible, but and it's unspoken, but it's so true.
Well, I just wanted to mention a few media things, or whether they're videos or books, that I read a lot.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is called The Changeling, and it's George C. Scott versus Angelina Jolie, which is a completely different story. But it was when some family had a crippled boy and they stuck him in the attic for his entire life.
Yeah, it happens. Yes.
And, because, you know, they hit him. And then, what was another one? Oh, and then there's Sybil.
Mm-hmm.
With, yeah. And then there's, Anne Rice, and she researched the Six Ways of Sunday. And when I read this book, I could literally, it was like, I could literally hear the voice.
Okay.
But it was called Cry to Heaven, and it was about castratos.
Okay.
And that's probably my musical background, where the church would go and find families that were poor and take their boys and, you know, and so they keep their upper angelic boyish voice.
Oh, no, I'm very well aware of this theory, yes. Yes, and it did. It did happen. Yes, absolutely.
It did, but I mean, this has been going on for centuries.
Right, right. Well, human nature, as I say, human nature doesn't change. I wish it did, but you know, the backdrop may change, but we as humans pretty much are static.
Yes, but what? And my last thing I wanted to ask about.
Yes.
Okay, so when James sends you the 9,000 whatever, yeah. I don't remember the number.
Right.
I heard like a blip of a news story maybe on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
and it was about in Indiana, a circus with a trailer versus a train.
Yeah, I talked about this. I talked about this with the camels and the
oh,
zebras.
You did?
Yes, I talked about all the
I
zebras.
I might have fallen asleep.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
I covered,
because it's
covered
been so
the zebras.
Foggy
yes.
Here.
Yes, covered the zebras and the camels.
Oh, you did? I apologize. I missed it because
right.
when it's really cloudy. But anyway. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling.
I hope everybody has a good night.
You too. Thanks. Appreciate it.
All righty.
So tomorrow night is a replay of Monday Night Trivia from this past Monday. It was a full show too, and I think it will be tomorrow. But in the meantime, our next full show will be this coming Monday night, and it will be a full 3 hours of trivia. And I believe we have a straggler, but Carol will keep me honest on that. The world's best show prep, truly. I would not be together without her. Oh, but I think I just found Marvin Jr. Yeah, good. All right. Marvin Jr. of the Dells would have turned 88 yesterday. Oh, I feel better that I found it. All right, so on that note, let's see what's going on here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, got 2 minutes to go, so I figured I'd just talk to you. Actually, you know, when the show started, I planned to talk about something and never got around to it, so maybe next week. And yeah, it was my gripe of the night. I come to open the mail and discover, much to my surprise, took one of the cars in for repair. And, okay, standard stuff, repaired it fine. Paid the bill. Car's been great. What do I get in the mail? I get an offer from Sirius XM telling me that since I've recently had my insert name of car here, serviced at insert name of repair shop here, I'm eligible for, and I bet, yeah. And so I hadn't been to the mail in a week. I actually got two of these. I got a follow-up. Oh, don't you want to subscribe? You know, it never occurred to me that an independent shop, a repair shop, not even a dealer or anything like that, that an independent shop would somehow have some deal with Sirius XM that they would either sell or give their information, meaning my home address, name. By the way, they obviously didn't give much about the car because the car was in a company name. But I guess it was he who pays the bills, you know, that kind of thing. But it's alarming the things you have to protect yourself from that you don't even know occurred. For instance, if I knew this in advance, I would say now, you know, absolutely no marketing of my, you know, like you will with a credit card or something like that or anything you do online. You'll check off, no, you cannot sell or use my ID. But an independent body shop, just some guy, basically, and his couple helpers. Yeah, and so I'll be having a conversation, needless to say, tomorrow to find out exactly what are the terms that they're deciding it's okay to give up the customers' names and home addresses and make and model of car to Sirius XM. Oh, man. I guess Sirius had to check to see, well, is it a registered car? I don't even want to know how they would know that. So we have plenty to gripe about next week, and we've got trivia on Monday, which should be a lot of fun. Until then, that'll be a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air, and we thank John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank all of you who called me because it makes my job easy to do, and you know I like easy. So until Monday, and that's, I guess, what I was going to say, 21 hours from now. No, several days from now. Till Monday. Talk to you then. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.